Welcome to Electric Evolution with Liz Allen. This podcast is about the journey to a more sustainable future in order for us to be able to do our bit to achieve net zero. I'll be discussing a variety of topics with experts in their field in order to educate and increase our knowledge of clean energy, electric vehicles, and the electric vehicle infrastructure. So whether you're an individual wanting to make a difference at home, a small business, or a corporate, this podcast is just for you. So hello and welcome to this, the Christmas episode of Electric Evolution. And this is episode number 68. So we've now been going just over 12 months and I can't believe it. It's just blown my mind. When I first started this podcast, if you look back to or listen back to the early ones, like kind of episodes 1 and 2 and sort of 3, 4, I was really, really nervous about all of this. I never expected it to be what it's grown into. And I'm so pleased that it's grown the way that it has done. I've interviewed some amazing people during this last 12 months. So I always wanted this podcast to be something that would help people to understand a little bit more about net zero, about EVs, EV charging, heat pumps, solar energy, wind turbines and sustainable living. And that's kind of what I always wanted it to be like this. And actually, those are the people that I've been interviewing during this last 12 months. And it's just been fantastic. So I want to start this episode by actually thanking every single one of my podcast interviewees who've been on this podcast journey over the last 12 months. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am now, as in 12 months down the line. And I'm over the moon with the people that I've actually had on this podcast. So thank you to all of you who've been on and joined me, because your insights have educated me and hopefully everybody else who've been watching and listening. We've all taken insights from those people, those experts in their field. It's just been fabulous. So also to you guys, the listeners and the viewers, if it wasn't for you, then, you know, this podcast wouldn't be it wouldn't be where it is now. I'm not saying it's, you know, it's not like Diary of the Seat of a CEO or anything like that, but we're getting probably about 800 people watching and listening between YouTube and the various audio channels. So every month. And that to me, it was never ever about the numbers. It was about building a community and helping to educate, you know, everybody so that we all can move towards an electric future with electrification, decarbonisation, and just doing what we need to do for net zero. So my own personal journey has been a bit transformative as well over this last 12 months. As a family, if you've been listening and watching since we started, you'll have seen episode 2, which was me speaking to my husband, Richard Allen, Professor Richard Allen, I should call him, of course, formal name, from the University of Reading. And we spoke about his work in climate change and educating people in that. And actually, I am going to be bringing him in again fairly soon to expand on what he's already spoken about. But that was the beginning of the journey. But I've spoken to so many people during the journey. The majority of the EV Cafe team, I've interviewed most of those. So Sarah Sloman, John Curtis, Paul Kirby, Sam Clark. Not quite. There's the one that got away, which is Johnny Berry. I will get you one day, Johnny Berry. In the nicest possible way. But there's been some absolutely, you know, some amazing people on, Dr. Ewan McTurk. So my own personal journey and that of our family has been really eye-opening over the last 12 months. We've done things that actually we never thought we'd be able to do in 12 months. We've actually got solar panels on our roof. So if you listen back to Graham Cooper's episode quite early on, you'll hear him talking about democratization of energy. So we started doing that. We've got battery storage, which my husband's obsessed with. I have to tell you that bit. We also, at the same time, we actually had an EV charger put in before we got the EV, which sounds a bit mental, doesn't it? But actually, it was the way to do it. It worked out best because having all three, the battery, the solar and the EV charger put in together, for us was the best way to do it. And then getting an EV, getting an electric vehicle. Now, I want, this is my next shout out. Dr. Ewan McTurk, if it wasn't for you, we probably wouldn't have actually moved to an EV as quickly as we did. But actually, so myself and my husband went out for a meal with Ewan in Oxford after EV Live at Blenheim Palace. And he was the one actually who, he didn't convince us, he didn't twist our arm or anything, but he made us realise that August was the right time for us to actually buy a new, well, not a new EV, an EV. And actually, that's the other part of the journey. I've spoken to so many during the kind of journey to get an EV. It was massive in itself, speaking to the dealerships and actually realising that maybe the dealerships weren't the ones that were as knowledgeable as they should be. You know, I've spoken to Ben Travis, who's a product specialist, and a variety of other people who actually put some context on what I needed to know about going to a dealership and what to ask them. And that's why, like I say, I kind of realized that the EVs that I was taking out for test drive didn't necessarily mean I was going to buy them from those dealerships because they weren't giving me what I wanted. So actually, when we bought our EV, we went to a private dealer. And he specifically deals with electric vehicles. And it's a Hyundai Ioniq. It's a 2021 make. We'd looked at all different ways of buying the EV. We'd looked at PCP. We'd looked at salary sacrifice. We'd looked at leasing. But for us, buying outright was the main thing for us to do. So we traded in our VW Golf. And we got the high-end Ioniq, known as the Wind Knife. But at the moment, it's slightly, at the moment of recording, should I say, it's slightly poorly because I had a little bit of an argument with the bollard, but we won't go into that, okay? It's been 7 years since I did anything that silly, but we'll just move swiftly on because it's Christmas and this is the season of good cheer and I'm going to be cheery. Anyway, So as I said, looking back 12 months ago, I really would not have expected to have interviewed all the wonderful people that I've interviewed on this podcast. And actually for 2024, I've got some more wonderful people coming up because now I've got a lot of fantastic interviewees under my belt. It's given me a little bit of credibility. So now I can approach other people, which is fabulous. So actually, so talking of driving electric, by the way, I've got to say, I absolutely love it. I always said that I thought I was a bit of a petrol head before, although I'm not a petrol head like some people. I did like my cars, and my dad always liked his cars, and my brothers always liked their cars, etc., etc. So being the youngest girl, I think that maybe that's where it all came from. But actually, do you know, moving to electric, they're so quiet. They're so lovely to drive. They're fun. So one of the experiences I've actually had whilst I've had the EV is, and I didn't expect this to happen straight away, but I got some work up in Coventry and Nuneaton. So we're talking, I live in Reading, so we're talking about 92 miles away. So it was really, I was quite nervous to start off with because the Wind Knife, our car, has only got a range of about probably, I think the most I got out of it was about 197 miles in the summer. I'm very accurate there, aren't I? And it's 92 miles up to Nuneaton, which was the first place I was working in. And I knew I had to drive around from one place to another. So it meant that I had to use public charging. Now, that was a bit of an eye-opener to me initially, but over time, I got so used to it and so used to using ZapMap, it made a massive difference. And actually, I am a planner. I've always been a planner. So I always plan my routes in advance now. So I actually know that I know how many miles I can get away with having before I need to charge. I'm not as worried as I was initially. I do make sure that I do charge up. And when I was up in Eneaton, I made sure I found a hotel with a charger outside. Made a whole load of difference. So anybody who's got hotels that don't have chargers, please get them to start having them. But actually, the one thing I would say is it's about, and lots of people have said this in this industry, they've said it's the right charger at the right place, the right speed. It's got to be the right place and the right speed, because otherwise, what's the point? So the place I was staying, there were two high power chargers and there was a 7 kilowatt. So if I wanted, you know, if I just wanted a slow charge, and I was staying overnight anyway, so I put it on charge for 2 or 3 hours, get my food, get sorted in the hotel, do a bit of work, etc., and come out. And then I'd always, because if it was, I got it up to 80%, and I always moved the car into a space, because it's what you should do. It's charging etiquette anyway, you know. And if I needed to charge it up quicker, there was a rapid charger there, so I actually put it onto charge, and it was charged up to 80% usually in about half an hour. So either I kind of mulled around in the lobby or went up and sorted myself out. So I got it sorted. For people who find the idea of public charging a bit of an, you know, a bit worrying, actually, you just need to do a bit of research. It's not as difficult as people think. And actually, yes, there are some charging networks that aren't as reliable as others. But actually, the longer you have an EV, the more you get to recognise the ones that aren't so reliable. So you're more likely to kind of exclude them from the ZapMap searches. So go to the ones, find the ones that work for you, and actually just use those. And yeah, we do need to have more chargers in the UK. We've got 50,000 now. We've got over 50,000 chargers in the UK. You know, if you look at ZapMap, you'll see that there are pockets of areas where, you know, where we do need to have them. If I go up to Yorkshire, so I'm originally from Halifax, as you probably know, if you've been listening for a long time. If I go up to Yorkshire, there aren't lots around the West Yorkshire area. But that's not going to be a problem, because I'll make sure that I charge somewhere that's near enough for me to actually be able to get there and, you know, and back, and I'll charge back en route. And actually, a lot of the EVs these days have got a much bigger battery than we've got. We've got a 38.5 kilowatt battery. But actually, like I say, for us, yeah, it'd be nice to have a bigger battery, but actually it's manageable. It's not a hardship for us. We are lucky that we've got the charger at home. We've got a drive, so we can do that. And not everybody has that ability. But actually, now I've stopped driving up to Nuneaton and Coventry. I was doing that for about 4 months every single week and staying over, which was tiring, I have to say. But now I'm only going to be kind of going as far as sort of Luton and Hemel Hempstead and places like that. So I may need to charge less then, you know. So before, I was coming back and topping up and going off and da 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 and all this kind of stuff. But I may not have to do that. So actually, charging is all about how many miles you need to do in the first place, you know, on a weekly basis. If you have to drive hundreds of miles every week, then you know, you have to plan. It's all doable. So for anybody who says that EVs and EV charging is not doable, it is. So please tell them to listen to this Christmas episode. Anyway, I'm not trying to get on my soapbox at Christmas or when this goes out on Boxing Day. I'm not trying to do that whatsoever. I'm trying to say, let people listen, because it's something they can do. It's not difficult, honestly. You just have to get your head around it. It's change. People don't like change. Actually, that's a great segue onto my next section. So the business that I run is Full Circle Continuous Improvement. Okay. And actually, so what I wanted to do first, kind of moving on, is to say thank you to the people who work with me at Full Circle, who, if they didn't do what they do, this podcast wouldn't be going out, and my social media, the social media presence of Full Circle, wouldn't be the way that it is. So For starters, Michelle Liddle, who I call my second brain. She is an absolute star, is the woman, honestly. That because of the way my brain thinks, and maybe you've read some of my social media blogs earlier on this year when I was actually diagnosed with ADHD, okay, at the age of 55, well, 54 then anyway. So, but that's another story. But Michelle is, everything goes, so many things go around my brain, and we are quite creative, but sometimes we kind of go off on a tangent. But Michelle is my second brain because I haven't got enough room in my first one. So I use her as my second brain, and she is absolutely fantastic. She is my, you know, she does all of our digital media, our social media, just a wonderful person, the nicest person ever. Chris Hunter is the whiz on anything to do with writing our copy for our social media posts. He's just the nicest guy as well. And I've been working with him and Michelle for at least Michelle's 2 years, Chris is nearly three. So we've been working together for quite some time now. And Chris is absolutely brilliant. Tom Stanhope, who produces these podcasts. So he's the one with his finger on the pulse when it comes to getting them all ready and editing and getting rid of my fluffs as I've been talking through them. So he's an absolute star. So thank you to Tom, because if it wasn't for him, then we wouldn't have podcasts in the first place. Finally, and actually, of course, very special to in my heart is my son, James. So James Allen. He does a lot of our analytics. So he's just gone 18 in October. I love him to bits, honestly. He's going to hate knowing that I'm saying this, because what my mum's saying this about me. But he's an absolute star. He does, like I say, he does all of our podcast stats. He looks at the analysis on the website, see how we're doing, all our social media stats, and kind of updates all of that. So he's an absolute, yeah, of course, I'm going to say that because I'm his mum anyway, aren't I? Of course, you know, but hey, there you go. So thanks to James. Thanks to all of them, you know, all my lovely team for being as fabulous as they are. So in 2024, I just wanted to say that you're going to see a few changes at Full Circle CI, okay? We're changing our website. We're moving, we're pivoting into an area that I kind of recognise is needed within the EV charging infrastructure. So if you look over my shoulder, if you're watching this, and you've seen this before probably, and I've talked about it, there's the word Kaizen that is written in Japanese over my shoulder, and the word in English, which basically means small incremental changes. Now, in the EV charging infrastructure, small incremental changes are what the sector needs, because I was reading an article today talking about making big changes in New Year and how sometimes you can set yourself up to fail if you try and set your heights too high to make these changes happen, and how you should actually introduce small incremental changes to get there. Now, This resonated with me so much, because that's what I'm all about, and that's what the EV charging infrastructure needs. Actually, to have somebody around to look at the changes that they need to make in order to ensure that people like me and you, EV drivers, are happy. Because when it comes down to it, when we want the network to be used, the charging infrastructure network to be used, we want it to be working. So there are things that need, you know, we need to, the infrastructure needs to make EV drivers happy, because there's a million of us at the moment that are driving electric vehicles. We want a lot more people. We're looking at 300,000 chargers by, I think it was 2030 originally, but I don't know whether it's, I think it's going to be 2035, maybe. I don't know which way that one's going. But even so, you know, we need a reliable network. And And you can't, and I am not the kind of person to point out anybody's, you know, any operational issues. But the one good thing that, well, I could do quite a lot of things as well as talking on a podcast. But the thing that I actually love doing is helping people diagnose operational issues and make it better so that they get better results at the end and they get more people using the chargers. So that's what you're going to be seeing from Full Circle over the next 12 months. I'm not here just to talk about Full Circle. It was here to kind of talk about the podcast, of course. But I had to mention what we're trying to do next year because I think it's really, really important. But look, I just want to say I've really enjoyed talking to everybody on this podcast and all of you listeners and viewers that have reached out and made comments. I really, really appreciate it. Do you know what would be fantastic as well? And this is from my heart. Actually, if you've liked this podcast, if you've, like I say, we're on episode 68. If you've liked it and whatever platform you've been on, if you can actually put a comment or a review or something like that, it would be fantastic because I'd love for more people to find out about it. That's what it's about. It's about education and helping people. And that's what I'm all about anyway. For those of you who've got to know me over time, hopefully you'll think, you know, I'm not just a gobby northerner. But anyway, I'm going to finalise this by saying I want you to all have a fantastic, an electrified Christmas and a wonderful new year. And I can't wait to see how things go next year in 2024. I'm still in a bit of denial, actually, because I still feel like it's October, by the way, when I'm and it's December when I'm recording this. So, you know, I can't believe I'm saying 2024, but I just want everybody to have a fantastic new year. You're all doing such wonderful things out there. And those of you who want to do more, keep listening, keep watching, keep researching and finding out what else you can do to kind of move us all towards the electrification journey that we all need to be on for net zero. But listen, on that note, have a happy Christmas and a fabulous new year. And I shall see you later. Lots of love. Bye. Thanks for listening to Electric Evolution with Liz Allen. If you want to find out more about Full Circle Continuous Improvement, please visit us at www.fullcircleci.co.uk. Don't forget to keep listening for more episodes coming up really soon.